offense limited to 5 runs across the course of 3 games in Seattle. You scored 7 last night, 7 tonight. How much confidence is this team playing with right now?
A ton. I think it just goes to show, you know, sometimes we're off for a series and we can get it right back in a blink. So that's kind of the makeup of this team. You know, we're not going to dwell on what happens in a single series. We're going to come back ready to fight every single day.
This we really did need this. Over the course of 162, you could have probably convinced some other people out in this world that yeah, you could win 2 here, win 2 there, it doesn't matter, they're all equal, and probably on a piece of paper they are. But where this fan base was, where I was, I just needed a collective sigh of relief to say, you know what, it's okay. The ship is going to find a way to get back to the top here. We're going to float again, and here we are. We've won a series. Going for the sweep tomorrow, Nick. What a beautiful day it is to be in America. What a beautiful day it is to live in Ohio. What a beautiful day it is to live in Indiana. Shout out Hoosier Daddy. And you know what? Even the people in Kentucky. What a beautiful day it is to live here. I just want to say, before we get the show started, I've had an all-time American day. Nick, based off your voice, you've been doing some screaming, but outside of that, hopefully you did all right.
I'm doing well, Trace. Nice to see the Reds play well. A game that, you know, fell behind 2-0, but really never was a big deal because of our good friend Tyler Stevenson. And yeah, vibes are back, baby.
That they are. We obviously have a whole list to run through here. We have the box score recap we'll get to in just a moment. The deep drive of the day, which I already know who that's going to be about. Ty Steve, no spoilers, is back. That is what it says on the rundown. We'll have a discussion about that. Ashcraft, Martinez, big time. Big time. Don't know what else to say about that. And then we have Ellie and more on the back half of the show. So as we always do to get things started, Nick, the box score recap. What actually happened?
All right. Reds taking on the LA Angels. Game 2 of this 3-game series. Top of the first, Graham Ashcraft gave up 2 runs. Fairly bizarre fashion. Anthony Rendon led off with an infield single, but he missed the bag and he got hurt. No one on the Reds apparently saw Rendon miss the bag. Trout then singled. Miguel Sano doubled on a ball that bounced off the outstretched glove of center fielder Bubba Thompson, making it 1-0. Looked like Bubba got a pretty poor jump on the ball. A brain injury, fielder's choice, and it was quickly 2-0 Angels. But at the bottom of the first, Steer had an infield single. He got to second on a throw that was airmailed from Angels third baseman Luis Rendifo. Stuart Fairchild doubled to left field, making it 2-1 Angels. Jamer Candelario and then Ellie De La Cruz walked. And with 2 outs, Tyler Stevenson hit a grand slam to right field, 5-2 Reds. Reds played add-on again in the 5th. Jonathan India singled and Spencer Steer walked. Stuart Fairchild ripped a single, 1-0-1 off the bat to left field. That made it 6-2 Reds. Candelario walked to load the bases. And then with 2 outs, Ellie De La Cruz walked in a run. That made it 7-2 Reds. Graham Ashcraft had retired 13 of the last 15 batters he faced entering the top of the 6th. But he gave up a leadoff walk and then a 2-run home run to Miguel Sano to make it 7-4. Ashcraft then walked the next batter, and his day was done. Nick Martinez came in, and that run did score after a wild pitch, sack fly, and a RBI groundout. Ashcraft's final line of the day, 5 innings pitch, 5 hits, 5 earned runs, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. But Nick Martinez, he got the Reds through the 8th inning, and Alexis Diaz looked great in the 9th. Reds hang on, win 7-5. Reds, hey, they win a series.
They did win a series, Nick, and we have a deep drive of the day, and it is sponsored, as always, by Deep South Commodity, and who else could it possibly be other than Tyler Stevenson? A big-time grand slam on a ball to right field, the old Oppo Taco. In all honesty, the best way in which I think Stevenson has power is just his natural opposite field power. Exit velo of 98.7, 355 feet. And that made the score 5-2, which gave the Red Legs a win probability of 79.4, jumping it a whopping 32%. And that is always a sponsored Deep Drive of the Day by DSC. They are a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production, specializing in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thank you to John, his team, and everybody else at DSC. You know, there's a plethora of guys, really, that stepped up tonight. And certainly we'll get through maybe a majority of them, hopefully. But we'll obviously start where maybe it means the most. Tyler Stevenson came up, bases juice there, first inning. It was an interesting home run, I'll be honest. Because it almost looked like, in real time, it didn't look like he squared it up perfectly in a way. And when you saw the replay, it almost looked like he was like maybe semi-late on it, but he put a barrel on it. And there's something about Ty Steve hitting a ball backside. Like, I genuinely think, clearly he hit a massive home run to left field. I get that he could maybe pull it a little bit farther. But naturally, just what the way his swing path is and maybe just his natural instinct of when to time up a pitch, it seems like he has pretty damn good pop to the opposite field.
Yeah, it and I know Barry was actually talking about it on the broadcast. It definitely feels like Stevenson's at his best when he is taking the ball the other way. That's an incredible strength. I haven't seen a whole lot of Reds in recent memory that can take the ball the other way as good as Tyler Stevenson. Now, the rest of his game, maybe not as great, but yeah, he's playing really, really well. He's hitting the ball hard. He also hit a ball 101 off the bat later in the game, actually hit so hard it caused the second baseman to make an error on the play.
They call that an error?
They called it an error.
Dude?
I know. I thought it was a hit. I pulled it up right now. Yeah, it was clearly his contact was a big reason for the error. So yeah, but no, I mean he's swinging the bat really, really well. I'm buying the hype, baby. I'm buying the hype.
Not to get off track, but I want this to be like Stevenson's was an error, but India's was a hit?
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll tell you this. Score one in the analytics department for that. All right. Because if you're going to use the traditional stats in the game of baseball, that's example exhibit A as to why you probably don't want to go through your life just looking strictly at batting average. But that's here nor there. But the only thing I'll say, listen, Ty Steve has been unbelievable. And I don't expect him to be perfect behind the plate, right? But it just seems like there are times where I don't know if it's just like I'm looking for it. Maybe I'm just the old pessimistic guy, but there was later in the game, I would have liked for him to be able to stop or block that Martinez pitch and then not allow the guy to get to second base. And then subsequently, there was a fly ball to center field. The guy moves to third base, and then he scores on a ground out to first base. So those are the small things that maybe, you know, hopefully over the course of the season he cleans up. But like I said, last night he blocked some incredible pitches for Cruz. So you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. It'll be interesting to kind of see this start to play out. The biggest thing I think is this. Stevenson last year suffered, I think, mostly from the lack of confidence or feeling like he had to dig himself out of a hole constantly, right? Now, sometimes you can get paralyzed by your stats, Nick. I really do think that. I've seen that personally throughout you know, my entire time around baseball. Some guys, they care about what their stats look like, and if their stats aren't what they want them to be, then they just keep pressing, and they keep pressing, and it never fixes itself. Tyler Stevenson, hopefully, this year, kind of can get himself out of that, if he even was in that last year. That's just me being hypothetical, but I am thankful that he got off to a good start, because 2 years ago, as we all know, Tyler Stevenson was a foundational piece of this team and franchise, so we thought. So it'd be nice if he is back, put it that way.
Yeah, and his numbers didn't look really all that good 2 days ago. I mean, still, he only has a .213 batting average right now. I know the OPS is creeping up a little bit, but right, that's part of the Reds, and they preach the process over the results. And I'm sure a lot of teams are doing that, so I don't think the Reds are necessarily like right, super cutting edge on this, but the Reds really preach it. They're almost like that the college basketball team that you're playing great defense, but the opponent makes the shot, and everyone on the bench stands up and claps. That's kind of what the Reds are doing with, you know, some of their approach at the plate.
Sure, no doubt. Speaking of approaching the plate, obviously Ashcraft, I thought he threw the ball pretty well. Defense let him down a little bit. I know some people will look at the box score and they're going to be like, oh, Ashcraft, that was a marginal outing at best. I mean, Bubba Thompson catches a baseball, and I'm not doing this every single night. I really, I remember. me and you going back and forth every night about shifting, non-shifting. If you know, he gets a double play in the first inning, Bubba Thompson doesn't drop the ball, that's two runs he doesn't give up. There's a chance later in the game where, unfortunately, he's kind of starting to wear down. He gives up a two-run home run, and then next thing you know, you find yourself giving up, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, a not-so-stellar outing. But it was solid. It was good. He gave his team a chance to win. He competed. I do find it funny with Ashcraft, the final note here on him. The dude never wants to come out, which I appreciate, but like, I think it was Barry maybe had said this, or maybe it was Sadak. He was like, Ashcraft doesn't want to come out. It's like, well, maybe he shouldn't have gave a two-run bomb and walked the next guy, you know? I mean, just saying. So, shout out to Bell for making the right move.
Yeah, Ashcraft, he's getting some good run support. Reds have scored 11, 10, and 7 in his three outings. So, shout out to Ashcraft for getting the offense fired up before they go out to the game or whatever. But, yeah, Ashcraft was fine. I mean, that first inning, I think, probably is a wash. Like, and he pitched really well. He retired 13 of 15 at one point. He was cruising. I mean, looking back, you don't like to see when you're up big, you walk the leadoff hitter in the sixth, the home run. It's Great America Ballpark. Ashcraft isn't a guy that strikes out a lot of guys, so I'm not going to be upset about that. But then he walked the next batter after that. So that's really the thing that would, maybe be the biggest disappointment for the game from him. But yeah, he was fine overall. I do find it funny, though. If that was Hunter Green putting up that line tonight and he got a big lead early in the game, I don't think that he would get the same reaction.
Maybe not. I mean, I'm kind of with you, but I'll say this about Hunter is I don't think Hunter's really, and I don't have anything to prove this, but my gut tells me that Hunter's really had a lot of bad luck when it's come to run support and defense behind him. I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but it seems like, you know, for instance, the one outing he made that was just unbelievable nails. You want to talk about nut cutting time? Hunter Green came in cutting all the nuts against the Twins last year when they needed a win, right? They were in the thick of a pennant race. They needed a win. He went down there. It was a businessman special, and he shoved. And he got no run support, and his defense let him down. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, the Reds lose, and he gets zero credit for the fact that he absolutely shoved. So, of all the guys that I think we give, too much hate towards, and I don't mean us specifically, Hunter Green's probably at the top of the list, quite honestly. He takes the cake by far. I know Ellie, he had his run in the sun there for about a week or whatever, but nobody gets criticized more than Hunter Green. And again, we've talked about at length maybe why that is, but speaking of a guy that gets criticized a good amount, well, we won't go there yet. We got to stick to Martinez. I'll tell you what, I don't want to say I was right. Sometimes I like to showboat. Sometimes, you know, I like to say, you know, hey, Trace, sometimes you might be right about certain things. This is what I was talking about when I said there's no chance that Martinez doesn't go to the pen, because ultimately at the end of the day, he makes the pen significantly better. He allows them to do way more things, and they have already what they consider a plethora of guys that can already start. So tonight, perfect example of why Martinez is in the bullpen, and I hate to say this, but if Martinez like wanted to be a starter, he does. He's like the great employee, right? The guy that can do it all, asks no questions, goes around, busts his ass all the time, and whatever you ask him to do, he'll work hard. He'll try to figure it out. What ends up happening to that employee? We all know. We all know what ends up happening. They start to have to do everything, right? They're like, well, you know, we'd like to have Johnny over there do it, but we really need Jimmy to do it because we know Jim. We can trust Jimmy, even though Johnny's been sitting on his tail for 6 hours and haven't done nothing. That's what's going to happen to Martinez. He's going to be asked to do things that, quite honestly, he might not want to do, but he's going to have to do it because no one else is capable of doing it. And that is go to the bullpen, throw 2-3 innings a night, and live with it. And then you're going to have maybe, I hate to say this, but a guy like Abbott, who's throwing the ball well, or maybe Connor Phillips towards the end of the year, or maybe Brandon Williamson, who might not be the best starter, but guess what? They're going to be a starter because they can't do what Martinez can. So, food for thought.
Yeah, David Bell clearly trusts Martinez in some of these high-leverage spots because Pagan hasn't pitched since Tuesday. Suter hadn't pitched since Tuesday. Wilson hadn't pitched since Tuesday. So it wasn't like it was completely out of necessity. Now, it was nice to give, you know, Cruz and Sims the day off, but David Bell clearly has a pretty high trust level with Nick Martinez. And man, when you have a start where your starter only goes five innings and you can go one pitcher to your closer, like, how many teams have that?
I was shocked he went all three. Like, I even think I put in the chat as we were watching the game here. I think I put a chat in the chat. I said, I would suspect Martinez to get through this inning, pitch one more. Then you're going to go, maybe you go to Pagan, but I thought maybe they go to Cruz, and then you hand the ball to Diaz. The fact that they just went Martinez, and handed the ball to Diaz was a little bit of a shock to me, and it worked out. And this is one of those nights. This is one of the nights. I want to see it in the chat. Ring my bell. You know it. I know it. There's nothing that you can have done better than what David Bell tonight did, handling the bullpen. He didn't. He left him in. He made the right call. You know, he could have brought somebody else in, but he didn't. He left him in. For all the people that think that he always pulls guys, he left Martinez in. You got to give him the credit. You got to give him the credit tonight. If you're one of those guys, step to the front of the line, put your hand up in the air, and say, Mr. Bell, ring my bell. You did it. Did I do a good job, Nick?
That was flawless.
All right, thank you. I was trying to be a very good president of the David Bell fan club. Of course, well, I should say vice president. You're the president.
Yeah. President, CEO.
Yeah. That's your all things, David Bell. Speaking of which, I got a chance to interview David Bell when we did the Reds Caravan. That's because they snuck us in the back door and acted like we were really serious journalist people with the radio. But I'd asked him if he was looking forward to breaking the all-time record of getting thrown out in the Cincinnati Reds history. And I'm thinking he took that personal. I'm actually thinking he remembered that. He's yet to even really make a big fuss about anything this year. Well, hopefully, you know, he doesn't have to all year long. That means things are going well. But just keep that in mind. He's three away.
And there was a situation in that Mariners game. There was some really questionable strikes. There was a call or something weird that happened that I thought, oh, this is where David Bell's going to come in. He's going to try to fire everyone up, get that token ejection late in the series, and he didn't do it. So
he said he's never done that. I know we've done this before. People probably heard this story before, but that is crazy to think. David Bell's gotten ejected a significant amount of times, and he said he has never purposely gone out and got ejected, not one single time. Pretty kind. Yeah. Pretty crazy. All right, let's talk about Ellie De La Cruz. I'm going to be the middle guy on this. I know you're going to be the hype guy. Listen, here's my thing. I'm not going to go too overboard on Ellie walking four times and thinking that he has great plate discipline yet, just because I do feel like the Angels were all over the place. Like it wasn't like a whole lot of five, six, we'll call it seven, eight, nine pitch at bats where he kind of like had to see some really tough takes and ultimately, well, like there was some four pitch walks in there. But you know what? I'm not trying to rain on his parade. I'm just saying I got to see before we crown him as being a Mr., you know, Joey Votto. That's taking it to the extreme. I want to see a little bit more, to be fair.
No, I think this was just straight the Angels not pitching to him for the most part.
Okay.
And there was some wildness in there, but three, our friend Reds Daily Greg tweeted out, only three strikes out of the 19 pitches thrown. We've seen it a lot with Ellie. He gets crazy respect from opposing pitchers, opposing managers. We've seen him get pitched around at big spots. It's wild how much respect that he has already from his opponents. And I think you saw that tonight. I think that's more my takeaway than his plate discipline. Although it is nice. I mean, right now he's up to 13.6 walk percentage. He was at 14% in AAA last year. When he got to the big leagues, he was at 8% last year, which is still a good rate. That's not bad. I think the average is usually 6 or 7. It fluctuates year to year. But if Ellie De La Cruz can get that up to double digits, that's going to make up for some of the swing and miss and the strikeout that you know he's going to have as part of his game. So that's great to see overall. But my biggest takeaway is just the incredible level of respect that he gets from other teams.
Well, they're idiots then. I'll be honest. They're idiots because, I mean, I'm not, this isn't no disrespect to Ellie, if anything. It's like if the bases are juiced and he's up there hitting right-handed, there's zero chance that I'm not trying to challenge him. So maybe they're just idiots or they just didn't have command, one of the two. But like putting Ellie on base too is different than because I've seen some people like being like, oh, Barry Bonds, you know, at least though, like here's the thing with Barry towards the end of his career. Like you put Barry Bonds, he's staying at first base, you know, like you put Ellie on base. It's not like you've survived. Oh, you only gave up a single. The dude's probably going to be standing at second base at least. And again, more than likely going to try to take third, which we'll talk about here really quickly. I'm with you, Nick. I think that there is some fair merit on him being aggressive and having to show him some grace from time to time, right? If the catcher, like you said, if the catcher throws the ball into left field and he scores, we're talking about the speed of Ellie De La Cruz and just how he impacts a game. And Barry Larkin's going to blurb about him for 45 seconds to a minute and a half about how special he is. But he gets thrown out, and then Barry obviously sits there and he says, well, you know, you just can't make the first out at third base like that. Okay. I do think that there are certain situations where Ellie obviously needs to be a little, what we'll call less aggressive. I didn't have a problem with the spot tonight, personally. I think he kind of got tripped up when he had already taken off. So that caused him to be a little bit, obviously, slower than other times, and he ended up being out. But the other night, like, the first and third ball where he tried to take third in the Mariners game that we all know about and Rodriguez ended up throwing him out. I just think those are two different situations. I don't have a problem at all with the thing that happened tonight. The one with the Mariners, I still am a little hesitant in saying, yeah, it's tough. But I get your sentiment, and everybody should at least agree. If we're going to use the youth, what would we call it? Excuse, I guess, is the lack of a better term. I think being aggressive on the base pass is the one that I'm going to give him the most grace with.
I don't think it's youth. I just think he's just straight always going to be aggressive. That's the way that he plays, and that's the way the Reds want him to play. He had a post-game interview last night, and they asked him, I think Charlie Goldsmith asked him about, you know, you stealing third with two outs, and he said, I'm always aggressive. Like, he just brushed it off. Not like in a disrespectful way, he just like, I'm aggressive. Like, that's what I am. That's who I am. And I mean, I think there is absolutely a cumulative effect to that. Now, look, he needs to have a higher success rate of stealing third base. Like, stealing second base, you need to probably be over 75%, which he's easily going to cover that. Third base probably needs to be over 90%. But the amount of times that you see the defense make boneheaded plays when he's on the base path is because they have to always in their back of the head. Oh, well, yeah, there's two outs, but Ellie De La Cruz might be running. You're always thinking that, and I think there's an effect on that. And I actually had someone today in my Twitter mentions that had a great an analogy for this, said Ellie De La Cruz, you throw away the rules, almost like Barry Bonds. Like Barry Bonds, you let him swing 3-0 because it might be the only pitch he gets, right? Ellie De La Cruz should have a different set of rules for being on the base pass than anyone else. And by different set of rules, there is no rules. You let this kid run. You let Ellie be Ellie. I fully believe you try to temper him. You try to, say, hey, Ellie, we don't really want you running in that spot. I don't think that would be good for him at all.
Well, it all comes down, and there needs to be more sample size to figure out how intelligent or how high of a level baseball IQ he has. To be fair to the other side of the aisle, right? Like I said, I'm going to try to be in the middle of this sometimes. If he's always running into bad outs or if he's always being absurdly aggressive, it's like at some point, right, even in his own career, at some point, Nick, that will run its course. Like, he's not going to be this fast forever. He's not going to be able to be, you know, the this type of athlete forever. If he's blessed enough to play this game when he's 35, 36 years old, we all know there's little to no chance he's going to be this type of player, right? Or this type of athlete. Having said that, on the other side of the aisle, to be fair to him, he's probably never really been put in a position where guys are throwing him out. Like, you know, if you think about it, throughout his younger days, when he was playing even in the Dominican, I'm sure when he was a youngster, there was no chance guys were throwing him out. They weren't good enough. And then in the minor leagues, guys just weren't good enough. My point is that if Yadier Molina is back there, you're probably not trying to steal third base with maybe two outs versus somebody else back there, right? Like, sometimes you got to pick your spots. I think that's fair to say. But I don't think there's been enough of a sample size to say Ellie's always making bonehead mistakes. And I don't think there's a big enough sample size to say no matter what, Ellie's always going to make, you know, okay decisions on the base pass. We'll just let it play out. And I'm going to err on the side of letting him be a kid, letting him be aggressive until it gets overly ridiculous or it really starts to bite you in the tail. And I don't think it's done that yet. It hasn't done that at all, if we're being honest. If anything, I think it would be sliding in the direction that the defenses are making more mistakes than they're actually making plays on Ellie De La Cruz. So I think that's fair to say. I think that's a good spot to be.
Yeah, no, I agree. And when you get more data, then you can reevaluate maybe your approach to letting him just have the ultimate green light. But I think Mark in the chat said it perfectly. The last thing you want is Ellie De La Cruz second-guessing himself.
Correct. I agree with that.
Clearly, at the plate, his biggest enemy is probably himself. Is right. He's the one guy when people talk about, you know, giving someone too much information, like it's Ellie De La Cruz.
Right.
Like, you want to give him some information, but man, you got to be careful what you give this guy because he's just so uber talented that you don't want him in his own head because he can do it without all these extra additional things.
Correct. You don't want him to become paralyzed trying to be perfect, pretty much, right? Yeah. Just let him go play. So, all right, moving forward here, let's get into the Game Time app. For those that don't know, you can download the Game Time app. Download the Game Time app. You can use the code CINCY, C-I-N-C-Y. You get $20 off your first purchase. And there's a plethora amount of tickets right now available, obviously, for some Reds games. Get down there to the ballpark. Reds are playing well at home. They're playing well at home. See if we can't go down there relatively soon. And you know what I mentioned today that I do, you know, I it's funny, Game Time wants us to bring up, you know, kind of like our favorite MLB kind of things that we were looking forward to. I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. I do love the idea, and I tweeted this out. I love the idea that now the way that Major League Baseball makes scheduling, you get to see these stars at least one series a year. You get to see these stars. You get to see them in a different ballpark. I know it was horrendous baseball. So my apologies in advance. Close your ears for a little bit of, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but Seattle was a beautiful place to watch a baseball game. Now, the Reds stunk, but aesthetically speaking, I love that broadcast. It was fantastic. If the results were great, I would have said, let's play all the games out there. It looks good. No disrespect to the home games that Bally Sports does, but that's here nor there. But anyways, if you're looking to go down to the ballpark, please use the Game Time app. Download code CINCY, C-I-N-C-Y. $20 off your first purchase. Jeremy Ward says, what are your thoughts on having Ellie bat leadoff? That'll get us back into some sports talk here. I don't know. You know what I do think? I am the guy that traditionally, when things are going right, I don't touch him. If it ain't broke, I don't fix it. I don't want him, a young player, to think that he's got to be doing something more special. But I will say this, Nick. With the injuries, which will lead me right into our next segment, with the injuries and the fact that India might be hurt, you might think about it. I'm not saying you do it, but you might think about it. Your thoughts?
I 1,000% want Ellie De La Cruz eventually hitting leadoff. I want him getting the most at-bats. I don't want anyone getting any more at-bats than Ellie De La Cruz. I'm with you. I don't want to risk messing anything up by putting him first. I just don't think the trade, the risk reward is really there right now. We did get some information after the game that India left sick. So I guess that is good news. I guess he's getting what Candelario and CES had potentially, but he's just sick. So it's not some sort of, you know, something worse.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously got his hand got hit. He got hit on the little weird fluky batting practice thing. And they obviously had said he was going to sit out that night because it was his hand regardless. But you never know. I mean, they're not going to come out. They're definitely not going to come out probably and say, yeah, India's had a groin or a knee problem after getting hit by a foul ball. And just because they don't want, like it or not, They don't want the public to try to like kind of pile on guys just because of some fluke injury.
David, to add on to it, David Bell said left the game with an illness and he hasn't been feeling well for a few days.
Okay,
so I guess he's been battling through it because clearly the Reds have no other options right now. So credit to India for, I guess, gotten through a couple of games feeling like crap. But yeah, so
always done
good,
that.
But that's good because I was pretty worried when I saw Jake Fraley pitch hitting against a left-handed pitcher and India's the DH. I was like, oh no, that's not ideal. So
yeah. Craig says two hits in the last 2 days while feeling bad with a question mark. He was struggling before that too. I don't know. I mean, listen, you know what they always say, beware of the sick golfer, maybe beware of the sick hitter. Although, although maybe not though, if you go watch that Mariners series. I don't know. It's tough to say. So he's not hurt. It sounds like he's sick. I don't know what to make of the sickness thing, man. That obviously was like the flu or who knows what they got, because ultimately it seemed to affect the whole entire team. And you got David Bell coming to a press conference, and I even made the funny tweet that I'll probably bring up here in a minute. I mean, did you see that? I mean, we got guys in there hacking. They're just hacking their lungs out in the middle of the freaking press conference right over there. It sounds like he's next to David Bell or she. And I'm just thinking, I mean, hey, let's clean this up a little bit. Let's start getting some guys out of the room that might not be able to be in the room right now.
They need one of those glass shields in front of all the players and managers for the post game interviews.
Yeah. Yeah, they might. Who knows? But all right, let's talk about something that's maybe not so might not be so fun, but is obviously relatively of serious conversation. You have Bubba Thompson still on the roster, and Espinal certainly still on the roster, Santiago, and whether or not you want to keep them on the roster, I think at this point is the big question mark. And Santiago is a guy that maybe you can convince me he's a guy that's probably going to hang around a little bit longer based off the depth, et cetera, et cetera. Bubba's starting to enter that territory now where you're like, okay, you're here for one reason, brother, and you're not really kind of doing the reasons that maybe you were brought here to do. We bring you at the end of the game to make free throws, and you can't make the free throws. So what do we do now? Nick, you're Mr. Positive, though, most of the time. What is there, if anything, left for these two guys?
I still think Espinal is worthy of a roster spot. He has a decent track record. I think he's a solid defender, and this team desperately needs any guy that can play infield and play solid defense. Bubba Thompson, I don't see it. Maybe tomorrow, sure enough, tomorrow he's going to steal the game winning bag, and you're going to see like that's the reason he's on this roster. But you have a guy like Connor Capel that can play center field. I didn't even know he could play center field. He has been playing center field some in Louisville. He's got an OPS like over 1,000. Just seems like he would provide a little bit more value to this team than what Bubba Thompson's getting, because Bubba doesn't even look like a good defender out there. I mean, he's literally just a guy that's fast.
You had mentioned before the show, I had said, man, I couldn't imagine being Espinal, you know, just looks hopeless half the time. And he did hit a double today, so shout out to that. I mean, congratulations. I don't know how much longer that buys you on a roster, but maybe it buys him a couple more weeks. The only thing I was going to add was, and you said, I'm sure he has a nice family. And I was thinking, man, could you imagine if you didn't have a nice family to come home to, if you're Espinal, like what do you got to look forward to every day? Maybe get some Grater's ice cream on the way home. No free ads, but that's about the only thing that I could think of that would cheer me up. All right. Bubba Thompson's got to go. I don't know how much longer he's got on this team, but if he can't catch those the semi line drive fly ball in the outfield, and he can't get on base, then I don't know. What are we doing? Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, I'm with you. I'd make the call.
Yeah. It seems like hey, we got some stuff to work on, Bubba. We'll see you next month. All right. Well, we got a Reds MILB as usual. Maybe we'll get into the chat for just a moment before we wrap this show up, but it is nice. It is nice to know that the Reds won the series headed into Sunday, and we'll see if we can't find a sweep. What do we have down on the farm, Nick?
Yeah, everyone's already final today, so me and my smoker voice, I'll try to get through this.
Yeah.
All right. Louisville, they lost 4-1 to Iowa. Bats only had 3 hits in the game. They fall to 9-11 on the year. Another tough outing for Connor Phillips. Only threw 49 of his 84 pitches for strikes. Phillips has walked 14 batters through his first 16 innings down at AAA. Just gave up 1 run and 3 1/3 today, but 5 walks. and five strikeouts. Sam Moll, he got through a scoreless inning in his rehab assignment, but he walked the first batter he faced. He hit the next batter. He got his first out of the inning on a caught stealing. Then he got a fly out, hit 94 miles an hour, and a line out, hit 104 miles per hour. Moll's velocity still down about 2 to 3 miles per hour on his pitches. Obviously not a whole lot offensively. Rhys Hines 0 for 4, 2 strikeouts. Did have two balls, hit over 100 miles per hour though. And then Mike Ford 0 for 3 with the walk. Connor Capel 1 for 3 with the walk. Chattanooga, they lost 10-0 to Bradenton. Tough outing for Chase Petty. Didn't make it through three innings. Gave up 5 earned runs, walked 3, and struck out 5. So yeah, just not a whole lot going on down in Chattanooga. Shout out to Jose Torres though, 2 for 4, stole a bag. Dayton, they lost 7-5 to Fort Wayne. They're 6-8 on the year, but the story is Cam Collier hit another home run. He was 2 for 3 on the day. He's got 6 home runs already. You want to talk about organizational top story so far this year, top developments organizationally. Cam Collier is up there throughout the entire organization with what he's done so far this year in terms of, you know, the Reds and their future. So Cam Collier's off to an incredible start. Looks great. Looks like that top draft pick. Sal Stewart, he was on base 3 times. Carlos Jorge, 2 for 4 with a double as well. And then the Daytona Tortugas, they won 4-3. They're holding up all the slack for the Reds MLB. They are the only team above 500 now, 8-6. Alfredo Duno got the day off, but Ricardo Cabrera, another good day, 2 for 4 with a double. He's hitting 341, got an OPS over 1,000. Connor Burns also 2 for 4 today as well.
All right, who, what, when, where, and why, Nick? Got to find a way to get us win tomorrow. Got to find a way. Let's keep the vibes high. Let's just sweep every series, get swept every series. Sweep every series, get swept every series. It's our turn to sweep the series, Nick.
Hey, look, it'd be nice to get a sweep, especially with 4 games against the Phillies coming up right after this. But Frankie Montas looking to rebound. Last start out, just went 2 innings. Obviously walked 4 batters against the Mariners. He's got a 2.45 ERA. In 2 starts at GABP this year, though, so he's been a lot better at home, for whatever that's worth. Pitched against the Angels a lot, 13 career starts, a nice 2.59 ERA. Active Angels overall, 17 for 65 against him. That's a 262 average, 749 OPS. Mike Trout, 5 for 18, but has never got an extra base hit against him. Anthony Rendon is 5 for 12, probably not going to play anyways. Ward is 4 for 11, and Rengifo is 1 for 9. Reds will be going up against Jose Soriano. He's actually a right-handed pitcher, so the first right-handed pitcher the Reds will see in this series. Making just his 3rd career MLB start. Made his MLB debut last season, pitched 38 games in relief with a nice 3.64 ERA. Actually pitched twice in the series against the Reds out in California last year, threw 2 shutout innings. Benson and Ellie were the only two that current Reds that actually faced them. Each one was 0 for 1. This guy that had Tommy John surgery in 2022, but a very talented pitcher. Fastball velo has been up to 101 miles per hour this year. His last time out, just gave up 1 run over 5 innings against the Rays with 6 strikeouts, but he did walk 4 batters.
Love it. Love it. All right, final notes before the show's over. We know we got 2 important things to do here real quick. I just want to say, as I always do, I try to give shout-outs. I love the chat. You guys are amazing. This community is amazing that we've built. And I say we because it's a collective effort of everybody. And sometimes you give people flowers that deserve it. And Nick deserves some flowers sometimes. You know, listen, this podcast is not the easiest thing to put out every single day. And he goes above and beyond every single day to try to make it different. And, you know, I don't know if you guys probably are aware of this, but you can easily just go into Spotify and or Apple Podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. I don't care. Maybe you get them from Podbean or you get them from Google or wherever it may be. I don't care. Just download it. Give us a review. Leave us a 5-star review. That stuff helps. I know you think that we're joking when we say those things, but it really does help us. And really what it does is allows us to hopefully at some point continue to put resources into this show because there's a lot of people that work hard in trying to make sure that we can, you know, continue to find different areas of opportunities to make this show bigger, better, and we'll see where it ultimately ends up going.
Well, thank you for joining us for today's episode of Chatterbox Reds. We greatly appreciate all of the love and support. If you have not yet subscribed to Chatterbox Reds on your favorite podcast platform, well, what are you waiting for? Do it right now, as we have new episodes available bright and early the morning after every single Reds game this season, just in time for your daily commute, your morning coffee, or however else you get your day started. And also, make sure that you're subscribed to Chatterbox Sports on YouTube so you can join us live after every single Reds game this season and be a part of the conversation. Hit the bell and turn on notifications also so you can get alerts on your phone whenever we go live. Well, we hope that you have a fantastic day, and as always, go Reds.